We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
All right, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Terry Diabolic, Finger on the Pulse. DJ Never Forget is somewhere in Dallas, Texas forever. And we'll be back today. That was just Cloud Control. There's nothing in the water we can't fight. And they will be playing live in the second half of the show. And normally we have the band with us in studio for all the show. But we also have the three probably most dapper guests we've ever had here from the Gentlemen of Maison Premier. And there's four of them on Cloud Control, so we're doing a little bit of space management. Good weekend. Let me just say thank you to Bullfrog and Baum and Mercedes-Benz for the awesome time in the Hamptons with my good buddy Mary Gon for the Chefs and Champagne. It was insane. You guys spend a lot of time in the Hamptons? Ever go out there?
Have not.
No.
It was my first time there. They gave us like a convertible. And they took us out, and they were totally awesome. And I don't know if I could go back without you know, the pampering.
Convertible.
Yeah, it was awesome. The new, like, 2012 Roadster. Sweet. It was awesome.
Sweet.
I'm not even a car guy, and I was like, this is awesome. We had that car out in the Hamptons that everyone let you make that turn, you know, where everyone just, like, waved you through, and, like, guys would just stand next to you and be like, what you driving? Be like, it's got four wheels and two seats.
Nice. I know.
Josh, Christoph, and Maxwell, the men behind Mason Premier, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
You know, we've wrestled with having you on here because we love the bar so much. It's one of those things that we would like to keep a little bit of a secret, but the love for it and just making people know about the most awesome bar to open up the summer in Brooklyn outweighed that love for secret spots. So it was an internal struggle, I have to say. But for anyone who hasn't been to Maison Premier, it is on Bedford. It's Absinthe and Oysters, and it's, you guys nailed it. I have to say, like, conceptually out of the park, you nailed it. And Josh, why don't you talk a little bit about the idea and the influence behind the bar?
Well, Maison Premier kind of developed over a course of a few years. The original idea sprung up on a trip to Paris with my partner from Les Baraqueux, Jean-Pierre. So this kind of idea of this horseshoe-shaped bar, Absinthe, kind of came about. We visited some Absinthe distilleries in France, brought that back to Les Baraqueux, and we started a small program at Les Baraqueux serving Absinthe. And immediately we received a lot of great feedback, people really interested in it. And our idea was kind of educating the people on Absinthe and kind of coming over some of those misconceptions and going over the process of how it's made and the profiles of the different styles. And so it turned into a really powerful thing for us. Fast forward, Christoph and myself started thinking about opening a place, and it was a long story how it all started, but it started out of some history books that Christoph was researching about New Orleans. And from there we took several trips there to kind of absorb the history and architecture of New Orleans. And Jean Lafitte Baptiste, the French pirate that we were reading about, had a story to do with some of the rum drinks that we were interested in. And one thing led to another, and Jean Lafitte was kind of one of the main characters that we fantasized about and started creating this place that would have existed many, many years ago, and that was on Bourbon Street, that was frequented by, you know, Jean Lafitte Baptiste, Andrew Jackson, had a lot of these big American heroes that were hanging out at this place that, you know, kind of represented the best of America. So at the time, oysters were obviously a really big deal. Absinthe was at its peak, cocktails. And this kind of American tradition and history was all kind of at this one center, and that was New Orleans. So that's kind of where the story started for us.
What makes the flavor and, like, experience of pairing oysters and absinthe something that you think is really important in a story and a bar that has to be told?
You know, to be honest, there wasn't a whole lot of thought behind pairing the two together. It kind of happened on its own. I think our love for absinthe and our love for oysters and seafood accidentally were merged into this room during the design process, and it became a very powerful source, a force. And so to say that we, you know, thought in advance about pairing absinthe and oysters, that really wasn't the case. It kind of turned out to be its own thing.
And now that it's paired, what's the response been?
It's been pretty interesting. A lot of different, I mean, you got people who are, you know, enthusiasts for oysters and people who may not know quite as much about absinthe. And us, with the amount of research that we've done with all the absinthe that we carry, have found that there can be pairings, depending on what kind of oysters you're working with the miroir, if you will, or the terroir of the absinthe. You know, they can be very playful, depending on, you know, the salinity of your East Coast oyster versus the sweetness of your French vert. It depends on those bodies.
For each of you, what's your favorite oyster paired with your favorite absinthe cocktail from your bar?
Oh, that's a good one.
Hard-hitting questions, I know.
Well, I'll say I don't know if I would really go for a absinthe cocktail with an oyster. I would probably go for a straight absinthe. One of my favorite absinthes is the Pacifique from Washington State. It's a vert. It's pretty light, though. It's not quite as aggressive as a lot of other verts. It almost drinks like a blanche. And also, I kind of prefer to have my absinthe without any sugar. So to do that with maybe a good West Coast oyster, you know, with maybe a little bit of sweetness, like a cushy or something like that. They're teeny tiny little creamy oysters. I think those kind of have like those. That's a nice combination. But I don't really think like absinthe cocktails are really quite as popular as doing like the absinthe drip and the oysters. I think people see that as like much more of like this traditional thing.
Josh, Christoph, your favorite pairings?
You know, I really don't have a favorite pairing. It's not something that normally when I drink absinthe, I like to do it at a table in a corner, and I kind of just sit in the corner and I observe and I just take up the experience. So I would be lying if I told you I had one. I enjoy oysters, but I generally don't drink absinthe and oysters there. I think it's because we're there so much that when I do try oysters, it's kind of before we open. So
right.
I would hate to lie to you and say that I do have a favorite pairing. So unfortunately, I don't. But I enjoy drinking absinthe and just taking in the space in private.
I mean, I definitely would go with absinthe drip also, something like a Delaware Phoenix with Charlin's absinthe out of New York State. I'd pair it with maybe like a Skookum Oyster out of Washington. They're both pretty earthy. You would do like a parallel kind of parallel characteristics.
Now, when you say absinthe, I know it's only become legal in the last few years, but you know, I think all of us have had journeys to Paris and Prague and things like that and had our own absinthe experiences. Is that the same type of absinthe that you guys serve at your bar?
You mean like the absinthe that you drink in Prague?
I mean, I've had nights both remembered and told to me after a couple absinthe nights in Prague, but is the same whole mystical qualities and things like that in the absinthe, or is this a different type of absinthe?
There's definitely, I mean, Christoph could talk about this a whole bunch too. I mean, there's a distinct difference between the absinthe that you would find in Prague compared to the absinthe that you're going to find in Switzerland or France, just because that absinthe just isn't the original style. It's not the style that we serve at Maison Premier, which is, you know, absinthe very first came from Switzerland and then became popular in France and then was also made in parts of Spain. And so those are like the most traditional locations of absinthe, or regions of absinthe rather. And the whole Czechoslovakian style of absinthe didn't come around until the early 90s, and at that point it really wasn't actual absinthe. It was mostly just like a bunch of herbs macerating and overproof alcohol, and then, you know, they'd do things like light it on fire and do all that crazy stuff. And I think the idea of this, like this idea behind this like nebulous category of like being able to hallucinate and also it's riddled past with artists and things like that. It was really marketable to a lot of people at that time to say, here's some absinthe, you know, here we're going to set this on fire and you're going to trip out and have this crazy time. I mean, you're going to get pretty jacked up off that stuff. I can guarantee you.
It's not for first time rodeos, right? Yeah.
But what I also think is important to understand that Maison Premier has taken absinthe not because it's, you know, cool or because of all the stories behind it that are supposed to be fun, but we've taken it in a way and said, this is what it is. It's 100% organic and all natural. It's just herbs. It's water. It's alcohol. And that's what it's supposed to be. So the absinthes that we carry are 100% natural, and they follow the Swiss law for regulating and distributing and bottling absinthe, which again goes by those standards of being all natural. You're not supposed to hallucinate. No. There aren't all these funny ingredients in it. You're not supposed to light it on fire. So we took it and we wanted to serve it in a way that it would have been served properly, traditionally, turn of the century, or, you know, back in its peak in the mid 1800s, which was an absinthe drip. You know, 4 ounces of chilled water, a sugar cube, and about an ounce and a quarter of absinthe, and you do the proper drip. The drip would allow the essence of the absinthe to be opened up, which would then create this milky color. So the whole process is very traditional, and there's a ceremony behind it that we really believe in.
It's a great ceremony.
Yeah.
It really gets you, so if you can watch it, and the bar is definitely a place to watch it. But all right, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick musical break.
Sure.
And we're going to come back. We're going to talk about the oysters, and we're going to talk about the bar itself and the new backyard that you guys just opened.
Great.
Cool. Right? Look forward to it. All right, so we have the gentleman of Maison Premier.
I'm not a
Alright, that was just Dom living in America on Snacky Tunes. We are here with the gentlemen, the dapper men of Maison Premier, Josh, Christoph, and Maxwell. And we were just talking about their amazing bar. And one of the things that makes the bar amazing is the bar itself, which is this beautiful horseshoe, one could say.
Yeah.
Something like that. And the other thing that makes it great is the 30 types of oysters that you have?
Yeah.
Christoph, can you talk to us a little bit about the purveyors and how you pick oysters and what makes something a bestseller and how things stay on the list?
I mean, I think we're really lucky to be in Williamsburg. I love being in the neighborhood. I've been living here for the last 8 years or so. It's really great because you could sell interesting product to people in Williamsburg. You don't have to sell like a basic Wellfleet or a Malpec, and people are happy to buy it, and you could break oysters, so I could sell like a Humboldt Gold Oyster or East Beast Blonde, oysters that people don't really know in the market, so that really makes it incredible. We have like 30 different oysters. I mean, we pretty much represent everywhere. We're going from New York to Connecticut, up to Massachusetts, to Maine, of course, to Northern Canada, and we're going across to California oysters, to Washington and British Columbia oysters. We started out 18 to 22. I feel like that was the number when we started our first day. And we were lucky. I mean, I guess we hit the wave with this kind of like oyster craze that's going on right now, mm-hmm. Which wasn't on purpose at all. I mean, we were really just crazy about oysters, and we were really trying to smash kind of like food culture and drinking culture together. I feel like a lot of the history of oysters in New York is pretty interesting. A lot of the original drinking taverns were actually oyster houses, and you're drinking beer, you're drinking rum. So that was a lot of the influence I'm bringing. The purveyors, we have, I don't know, anywhere from 8 to 12 purveyors a week. We ship, we get some oysters direct from the farmers themselves. It's definitely an interesting day every day dealing with fishmongers. There's a lot of bootlegging in oysters.
Is there?
A whole lot of bootlegging.
What's the oyster black market look like?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, they're selling oysters that don't even exist in the season. They're taking other people's oysters and selling them. Our friend Chris from Blue Island Shellfish has a really famous oyster now called Nikki Cowboys. And this is a wild oyster out of Long Island Sound, grown in the New York and Connecticut side. It depends on the season, but this oyster is so popular now that other distributors are just bootlegging it, making a fake oyster and calling it a Naked Cowboy. So there's a lot of that going on.
Huh. So How many oysters do you go through a week at the restaurant?
We're doing 10,000 right now. Strong.
Wow. And then you also have, I mean, you have other chilled seafood there, right?
Yeah, we have, of course, we have local clams, little necks, cherry stones, some really nice Maine lobster. We have red snapper ceviche. We have Alaskan king crab.
So, you know, oysters definitely fall in one of those categories that for people who are uninitiated to the whole oyster scene can feel intimidated. What's the ordering process like? You know, what do you recommend when people come in? Like, how many different types of oysters do they get when they order a dozen?
Yeah, I mean, we have a pretty cool system because it's a, we have an oyster ticket, which basically the menu's on and the server gives you a pencil and you kind of mark what you like. But I mean, I think the servers at Mason Premier are pretty trained pretty well to they're definitely recommending and talking to the guests. They all have their own favorites, which is pretty interesting. And I even say that with the bartenders. So, I mean, I definitely think they're definitely navigating through the menu with the guests.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I actually like about this oyster house is that it's an actual oyster house that I want to be in and hang out in. Because a lot of times it's, you know, you have to go to the city and it's fancy and it's so just like uptight. But you guys play a lot of good music. You guys have a happy hour. Can you talk about those two aspects a little bit and the thought behind that aesthetic of the bar?
Yeah, I mean, it was just really I'm a huge, music fan. I have a background in music, more in engineering. It was just, you know, the whole concept, it was just excuse to play blues music. It's you know, we're playing blues music from all around the country, but it was there's something about it. There's a certain vibe towards blues that's like great, great for the environment, great for the place, and a lot of people don't know about it.
Now the happy hour is a good deal. Can you talk about the happy hour? It's dollar oysters, right?
Yeah, I mean it's dollar oysters. We usually have $20 to $24 dollar oysters. I mean, there's great oysters on the menu. We just felt, you know, people are getting stingy with the happy hours, and we were just going to go all out. So there's good, you know, there's expensive oysters on the menu, and it helps us also, you know, go through the 10,000 oysters. So we keep fresh oysters, so that helps too. And you know, we're busy during happy hour on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Thursday. So people are there drinking away, having fun. So it's, you know, it helps. I'd rather just be a busy place. You know, that was the thought process. Everyone thought we were pretty much insane to offer 24 oysters. I mean, even today, people ask all the time.
But they move, though, right? I mean,
yeah,
they move.
It's a strategy that a restaurant would go out of business doing. But since we're just an oyster bar and our main product is oysters, we need to move those 30 oysters because you have 3,000 to 4,000 in your cooler every day. So in order to move those, this is a great way of keeping them fresh, making it very accessible and affordable for people to try, but also being very competitive and having a great happy hour.
I have to admit, I think that's one of the things that I actually really love about Maison Premier is that it is just an oyster. There's not like, oh, it's an oyster bar, but if you want chowder or like a wedge salad, no.
Right.
It is just shellfish.
And the thought process behind that, you know, goes back to a lot of our research we're doing. And, you know, you go to New Orleans, you go to Café du Monde, you just have beignets. You go to certain places, you just have a po' boy. And you go to Acme and you have oysters. And so there's certain places, you know, along, you know, back in the day, and this goes for New York as well, but certain places that specialize in just specific things. And we thought that by having a very strong seafood program, just having an oyster bar would be sufficient for what we were doing, and that people would come there just for that. And, you know, people say, oh, well, if I had more food, I would stay longer. But our place is so small that we can't really afford to have people sitting there for 2 hours. It's only 1,000 square feet. So it's actually a good thing that they come in, they have oysters, and they move on to the next place for dinner. And I think it makes it an exciting experience to come there just for oysters.
And now you have the backyard open, so there is a little bit more space, right?
There is, yeah. It's doubled. So we have another 1,000 square feet in the garden. It doubled our capacity. We're over 100 now.
Are you animal friendly? You dog friendly?
Unfortunately, the health department is not, so we can't have any animals in the building. But the garden's great. We have a raw bar out there now, full functioning raw bar with the same 30 oysters as inside, and a bar outside with a bar menu. So there's a bartender and shuckers outside.
So what do you guys have coming up for the future? What's in the fall season or the end of summer for Maison Premier?
Well, that's a good question. We're constantly talking about our future options. There's definitely more to come within Maison Premier. We've talked about several things. None of them we can really discuss out in the open right now. But just
just to leave it out there.
You know, some parties coming up.
Yeah, we have some great parties coming up. We had a great 4th of July party. We have a big band, cookout. It was just a really big success. So just to stay tuned for any holiday that is coming up, whether it's Mardi Gras or Kentucky Derby, we have special drink menus, bands playing in the garden, great food. So we always come with something special for each of the holidays. I believe Labor Day, there's going to be some type of big party going on, which would be exciting.
Yeah, the 4th of July, we had a really good party on 4th of July. We had this great band. It came in, a bunch of studio session jazz musicians were hanging out. Actually, there were a bunch of young guys. I went to high school with one of those guys, and so he was out there with his band, as the band leader in the backyard, and we had our executive chef, Jose Soto, out there just grilling up some burgers. We had the ladies from Pies and Thighs send over some pies for us, and it was just kind of a cool thing, and I don't think we're going to be doing exactly that same thing, but, you know, sort of end of the summer celebration, Labor Day, I think we were planning on kind of doing the final bang on that Monday, and then sort of just, like, leading up to it over the weekend.
Sounds great. Yeah. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Cool. Thanks, Darren.
I hope it does not get overrun, but I will be in there. I'll just come early. I'll just come early now because I live and work right down the street. But what are the nuts and bolts? What's the website, address, Twitter feed, all that good stuff?
www.maisonpremiere.com, 298 Bedford Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. For Twitter, it's twitter.com/maisonpremiere, 347-335-0446.
Happy hour today is in the garden. Today will be the first day that the happy hour is starting in the garden. We ran out of ice. We have 4 ice machines now just to keep up with the crushed ice for the oysters, like 3,000 pounds a day. So today, happy hour, 4 p.m., will be the first and every day. So we'll have the inside and outside happy hour going. And we're open at 4 a.m. every day.
And you can get oysters till 4 a.m., right?
Pretty close. I think we're around 2 to 3. We're cutting it off. Eventually, we're going to be 4 a.m., but we're up to about 2 or 3 in the morning right now every day.
That's so awesome. After oysters. The bars, have some oysters, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome, guys. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming in. We're going to take a quick musical interlude while we switch to the music part of the show.
I'm sorry, Charlie Murphy. I was having too much fun. Well, sometimes
your ginger hair and the way you like to dance. Won't you come on over? truth inside my head. Curtains closed, you peep inside my head. You were always down for it. Get in this getaway and we run from it. Yeah, you were always down for it. Get in this getaway and we run from it. You're giving me the coldest stare, like you don't even know I'm here. Why don't we turn the leaf? Why don't we turn the? Why don't we turn the leaf? Why don't we turn the? You're giving me the coldest stare, like you don't even know I'm here. Why don't we turn the leaf? Why don't we turn the? Why don't we turn the leaf? Why don't we turn the? What you've done, you can't keep inside. By the end of the night, I'll help you confide. Cause I can see inside yourself. Cause I can see you're not being yourself. Cause usually you're down for it. Can't hold back a smile when you try for it. Yeah, cause usually you're down for it. Can't hold back a smile when you try for it. You're giving me the coldest stare, like you don't even know how. Like you don't know how. Why don't you let me see? Why don't you let me? Why don't you let me see? Why don't you let me? You're giving me the coldest stare, like you don't even know how. Like you don't know how. Why don't you let me see? Why don't you let me? Why don't you let me see? Why don't you let me?
Awesome. That was just Subtract, Hold On, and before that with Mark Ronson's cover of Valerie featuring Amy Winehouse. Rest in peace. It's not a terrible surprise, but still sad nonetheless. So, a bummer. Musical loss, I would say, right?
Musical bummer.
Yeah. I agree.
So we are joined in the studio with Cloud Control from all the way from the other side of the world, right? Australia?
Yeah, well, from London this time.
London this time?
We've moved there.
Oh, you've moved to London?
Yeah.
All right, let's do the whole... Let's get the nuts and bolts out of the way. Let's go who you are and what you play.
All right.
I'm Conrad. I play bass.
I'm Ulrich. I play drums.
I'm Alistair. I play guitar.
Heidi. I play keyboard and shaker today.
Ooh.
Yeah, mixing it up.
So you guys are on tour and you're in town for two nights. Brooklyn last night, The Ding Factory, Mercury Lounge tonight in New York. How was the show last night?
Yeah, it was cool.
It was good.
The Ding Factory is a nice place.
Is this the first time you've been to Brooklyn? Have you been here before?
No, first time for all of us. Well, actually, Conrad came on a holiday.
Yeah, but not playing music.
So what have you liked about Brooklyn? Where have you eaten? Where have you been hanging out?
I'll be going to Vinny's, getting pizza.
Vinny's pizza is pretty good.
San Loco.
For some great Mexican.
We can talk after the show and I can tell you where to actually go for pizza and Mexican. No offense to those places, but I'll write you guys out some stuff.
That'd be great.
We don't
have that much time. We're gonna find
somewhere. No, they're all in the Bedford area.
Oh, cool.
It's just a little bit. Trust me.
Yeah, right. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. Trust you. I'm just. It's you know, if I came to your hometown, I think I would ask you for tips.
That's right. Yeah. You know.
Talk to me about the history of the band. How did you guys get together? You know, what's going on with the album? Give me all the details.
Well, we formed in about 2005 when Heidi entered a band competition at uni, kind of roped us all in, friends from high school and stuff. And we went through that and we were really, like, none of us had really played in a band before or sung or written songs or anything. And we just kept going because it was fun.
and it gradually took over our entire lives until we've reached this point now.
It's where, like a parasite.
Yeah, it's like a parasitic band.
Like the tapeworm of music.
Yeah, just sucking out our innards.
And then spat us out in London.
Yeah, so we moved to London after. We released our album in Australia in like a little bit over a year ago. And then released it in London, or in like UK, Europe, a couple of months ago. And I don't know what's going on over here. If it's even gonna, it might just get like a little release or something.
Oh, it's not out. But I mean, does that still matter? I feel like once it's released onto the internet,
well,
it's
that's
just
the
out
thing,
everywhere.
Right? It's like we kind of want to push it properly, but then it's already been released twice, so
right.
It's kind of hard to do it again. We might just wait for like the next album to do it properly, but it'll probably be on iTunes. It'll turn up there, and like you can order it from whatever.
Where are you guys living in UK?
London.
No, I'm sorry. I know London. My fault. Where are you living in London?
In London. It's like Hackney.
All east
London.
All over. Like,
which seems
Dolphin,
to be the standard Hackney. Band kind of
yeah, like there, like
area.
Dalston, Kingsland, like that
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Right near Dalston.
Yeah. I for one really like English food. And, like, I think that London gets a bad rap.
What do you mean by English food?
What English food do you like?
You know, like, salted beef and... okay.
It's comforting.
It's comforting. Bangers and mash, all that stuff. Like, yeah, you know, it's just, like, it's not terrible. It's not as bad as...
But it can be done really badly, though.
Have you guys found some places in over there that you like eating?
Our own
kitchens?
There's a few places.
Oh, do you guys cook a lot?
Yeah, we do. Like,
what do you got?
Yeah,
what
we
do
love
you,
to cook. We even brought our chef knives over from Australia.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Or are you staying at places that have nice kitchens?
That was a prerequisite.
No, not really.
It's like...
Our kitchen's great.
Our kitchen is pretty good, actually.
Our kitchen's alright.
Ours is alright, yeah. Except our gas stopped working.
We got gas. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You don't have gas?
Kind of when you were there, actually.
It worked for me.
I know. It stopped when
so
we were
there. So, Conrad broke Heidi's
broke
kitchen.
Oh, is this what we talk about when there's tension in the band?
Yeah.
You broke my kitchen?
But it worked after
You broke
that,
my kitchen!
Could be worse.
Yeah, it worked
yeah,
once.
It did.
We
once
broke our kitchen.
You broke it.
Yeah.
What's your specialty? What do you make?
Ooh, our specialty. Gosh, Ulrich and Al are really good at pizzas.
We make
really good
awesome
at Italian
pizza.
And Mexican.
No, you're good at omelets too.
Oh yeah, I'm good at omelets, and
you're a good cook too.
Oh, I don't know.
Pretty multi-talented.
Yeah, it sounds multi-talented. How'd you like the pizza here? Good.
It's great. Yeah, it's nice.
It's nice. All right, let's do a song. Let's get into a song. We'll come back. We'll talk more about tour and writing songs and things like that.
Cool.
What's the first song you're gonna play?
Meditation song.
Meditation song?
Which is the first song of our album, actually. Just incidentally.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. Okay, great. So, Cloud Control from Australia via UK, live on Snacky Tunes, Meditation.
All right. Thank you.
Woo!
Cool.
Very
Woo!
Nice.
Good job. Great job.
Great job.
Thanks.
Aces. Aces. Awesome. So it seems like you four of you are all still really close, still friends, and that's pretty awesome to be in a band for so many years and still be friends. What's the creative process? No, is that not... You're making a face. Is that...
No, we're not friends anymore.
Oh. Then this is just... This got really awkward.
This is like the first reunion tour.
The first reunion tour from last night.
Yeah, last night.
So how does it work when you guys get together and, you know, I guess you've done your album, now you're thinking about the next album. What's the process like?
Well, for the last... For Bliss Release, the album that we did, I guess,
like you'd write one word, I'd write a word, you'd write a word, and put them in order. That'd be one line.
Stick them on the wall.
Oh, just like write a sentence on a piece of paper, fold it over, write the next sentence.
Yeah. What's that called? Like,
that's a great idea.
Exquisite Corpse, isn't it?
That's David Bowie strange. Did that.
Hey,
that's David Bowie strange. Did that. Like chop up them up and bits of newspaper.
That's why we did it.
Good way.
We'd also play like CDs at the same time and stand in the middle of the room so that we were in the apex of all of the music colliding, and that's how we'd get our musical inspiration. So lyrics and music combined. It's probably how we'd do the second album too.
What were you listening to when you were writing these songs for the album?
Flaming Lips.
Had what like were you Kenny G, Slayer.
Slayer.
And then
I was really into Motorhead actually. I discovered Motorhead.
Yeah, you did.
Remember that Flaming Lips album where they released it on four CDs?
Oh, and Zyreka.
Yeah, you had to plus awesome. It at once. And they also had this thing called the...
Parking Lot Experiment.
Yeah, the... where they would have like 60 people come up on stage and press play at the same time.
Yeah.
So...
That's so inspirational.
I met a guy who was part of that and he got really drunk and said Stephen Droz, like got angry at him.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Stuffing it all up.
I mean, you're relying on drunk people at a crowd to, like, play your music.
Yeah.
So you guys are headed out to L.A. next. I'm assuming that if you have not been to Brooklyn, you have not been to L.A.?
Yeah.
No, incorrect.
Incorrect.
Not in a musical proper. Sense, though. We've just got some relatives there.
You guys have
there
family there, right?
Woodland Hills.
In the middle of nowhere.
Oh, you guys have been there before?
Yeah.
Four times.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, but just to Woodland Hills, so...
Do you like it out in L.A.? That's
kind of
right
suburban.
That's the right answer.
You know.
Just big and sprawling.
Yeah, I never... I sort of like living in a city and feeling a little tucked in, you know? And in L.A., I feel... Like, when I'm out in the country, it's totally fine, but L.A. is that weird, like, nastiness of the city, and then also, like, the weird, like, vast...
That urban sprawl that goes
urban
forever.
Sprawl.
Mm.
Have you got good food out there?
Man, you're going to hate it.
I think I'm going to hate it.
Are you going to hate it?
No, but we're saying like Sunset Boulevard is supposed to be nice there and stuff.
I can also give you some food tips for LA.
Good. Oh, please do.
Yeah. Some good. Do you guys ever have Korean barbecue?
Korean?
Yeah, they have that in Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah, Korean barbecue. There's this place called Parks that's out there.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Cool.
LA's got good food. Okay food.
Okay food.
Okay food.
Hey, look, the sound guy's looking at our website in there. That's funny.
Nice.
So on tour, what's the are you guys just flying around everywhere? Because are you just out here for a couple shows, or you can do the cross country drive?
Yeah, we're flying, aren't we?
Yeah.
It would take a long time to drive to LA.
For one show tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're not playing tomorrow though.
No. It's kind of just like dipping into New York, dipping out,
and
dipping
it's
kinda, in.
It's en route to Australia. That's why we're here, really.
Yeah, we're going back to Australia for one show.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's it like in Australia for you guys? Like, are you guys, you know, since you started in Australia and now you're making your way to the UK and the US.
Yeah.
Is it just like, is your presence like, you know, because it's always different for different markets, and that's really...
That's where it's... Yeah. You know,
that's the center.
We're pretty much megastars.
Just rock star, can't walk down the street.
Yeah.
We shouldn't even be talking about it.
Do you have a favorite place to play in Australia, or do you have any? What's your favorite venue?
I like Good God, but it's very
Forum.
Small.
Forum
yeah,
is
Good
great.
God is good.
Forum in Melbourne.
Good God's a really good small venue, and the Forum is a really good, like
the
good.
Forum. Yeah. The roof of the Forum is painted like the sky, so you feel like you're in an outdoor palladium. It's beautiful.
What's the food scene like in Australia?
It's
amazing.
Yeah?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Freshest produce.
That's what I hear. I hear the produce is just so...
It's phenomenal.
What dish do you miss from home the most?
Really good Thai
food.
Good Asian. We've got
good coffee as well.
Everything. We
Sushi.
Do a lot of... Like, we do a lot of Italian
just a whole bunch of Asians. So you get Thai, Indonesian, and Malaysian.
Really Vietnamese. Good cheap Asian food. Really like good takeaway.
Is there like Australian cuisine?
No. They say there is. Like there, kangaroo. There's a restaurant in Newtown that's like Australian.
Yeah, because there are like Australian restaurants here, but I.
What would they serve? What, like steak?
Burgers and steaks, yeah.
The thing is, it's all just derived from British food.
Okay.
So our Australian food is like steak and three veg and like shepherd's pie.
Yeah, pretty much up until the 70s, it was meat and three veg. In the 70s, there was a massive immigration from all over Asia and it really diversified everything.
Yeah. I think like modern Australian food is more accurately like includes Asian
kind of Asian cuisine. Fusion.
Yeah, like if you go to a restaurant, like what's that vegetarian one on Crown Street?
You keep telling me about it.
It's so good. It says it's like modern Australian cuisine, but it has
Bentley.
No, opposite that.
All right.
Anyway, it's like a mix. It's a pretty big mix.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into a song. Let's do another song. What do we got coming up?
Gold Canary.
Okay, we got Gold Canary.
We're going to jam on this one a little today. We're going to play a little differently.
Yeah, you're going to jam out? All right, so get ready for Cloud Control to jam out live on Snacky Tunes.
Yeah. Half hour or so.
Oh, yeah. Just we're about to get some Asian noodles.
We're going
to
get into a serious thing.
All right. Shouldn't even be talking about it.
Take it away.
All right.
No, no way. No, no. Softly, will you lay a curse to my name? Fly away, fly today. As my hands work on the birdcage, you disappear into the air. Fly away, fly today. Thank you.
That's great. Sorry, I have a mouthful of pizza. You totally caught me.
Whoa, the pizza kind of disappeared during that song.
Yeah, it did.
Huh?
Did you that
You inhaled that.
That's amazing.
I had, I played squash this morning. I'm hungry. I've always considered myself an athlete, you know?
Yeah, right.
You have an aptitude for eating pizzas?
Pizza definitely falls into one of the food groups for me that I will continue to eat well past my point of being full if it's in front of me.
Yeah.
You know? Like, there's some foods where I'm just like, not anymore. Like, pizza, I will somehow psych myself up to eat four or five pieces.
You psych yourself up to eat? See, Al? I'm not alone.
That's weird.
I mean, there are times when I'm like, when am I ever going to be back in this city? This food is so good. I'm not really hungry, but, you know. Yeah, when do you psych yourself up to eat?
Sorry?
When do you psych yourself?
Every day. Just
every day before a great meal.
So weird.
Like,
it just makes the satisfaction so much more sweet, you know?
I think they put it in a nutshell when people tell me that, like, oh, I just didn't have time to eat today. I don't understand that statement. What do you mean you did not? Like, that is when I'm eating, I'm thinking about my next two meals. Yeah. I'm like, what am I doing later? Like, we had the Maison Premier, the oyster guys on at the start of the show. I was like, I know I'm eating pizza now, but when can I get out there to eat oysters?
I think we could be friends. Do you reckon?
Yeah. Are we not friends?
I think we could be.
Oh, okay. We have to find each other on Facebook first. I know how it works. I know how it works in the modern age. So after Australia, what are the plans? What, you go back home to UK?
Yeah, back to London.
And
and then we're headlining a festival in Italy the next day.
Oh yeah,
that's pretty exciting. Yeah.
Oh well, tell me about this. What are the details?
Well, we were asked to support Arcade Fire in Milan a few weeks ago, which was career highlight.
And there was a fire
on stage. Whoa. One of the lights blew up. That was exciting.
Was that the end of the show?
No, at the start, in the sound check.
Oh, okay, but the show went on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome, we still got to play. Right?
Yeah.
But I think the Italians liked us, so they asked us back for a festival.
What's the name of the festival?
It's Italian. Don't know.
Oh, Italian.
It's on the coast.
It's 2 hours out of Rome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. You're going to get to do that whole coast side European festival
the
thing.
The Amalfi. Yeah.
It's not near Amalfi.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Okay.
You're going to probably get a lot of awesome pasta and pizza, which you will probably not eat before you play, right?
Yeah. We had real good pizza there.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Do you guys have a pre-show food ritual, or is it anything like that, or after-show food ritual?
No. Generally, I reckon play on an empty stomach's better.
Yeah, playing hungry.
That's psyching yourself up.
You can really rock.
Yeah, you can't play with a full stomach.
No. That's the only consistent thing I've ever, of all the bands that we've ever worked with and talked with, it's the only consistent thing they say about food. Is that play hungry or don't, eat 4 hours before your show.
Yeah,
that's so true. Yeah. I think I ate too close to the show last night, actually.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I think everyone did. Yeah.
Do you know when you're hungry, you're really wired and all your senses are heightened?
Yeah.
So imagine if you channel that into your guitar or your keyboard or your singing.
It's like fight or flight.
It's like you're a beast.
Yeah, just trying to survive. I get through the show, I get a slice of pizza.
Yeah.
What did you guys eat last night?
From that Mexican place you don't like.
Which you just panned.
Look, I'm going to say this. It's not that I don't like San Loco, and it serves its purpose, but there is something literally two blocks down on Grant Street called Taco Chulo, which is a Tex-Mex type of thing.
My friend told me about that. My friend living, and he was like, yeah, you can either go to one of these two, Taco Chulo or San Loco.
Okay, well,
I think San Loco was underneath his house.
Yeah, that is the perfect description of San Loco.
Yeah, yeah.
It's underneath my house. it's there. But no, Taco Chulo is really the place. And I know that I can't really be saying, but La Nona is the awesome pizza place on Roberta's, which, on Bedford.
On Roberta's.
Well, Roberta's makes my favorite pizza, but La Nona is down on Bedford, and they're awesome. And no one ever goes there. I mean, it's packed by non, tight jean wearing people, if you catch my drift.
Ah.
But it's delicious. And they make everything to order.
Nice. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
They won't sell you a slice.
Pardon?
They don't sell you a slice.
Oh, they sell you a slice. They'll sell you a slice, but then they'll make if you get a chicken sandwich there, they'll cook the piece of chicken for the sandwich and not just have a stack of. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. That's dedication.
That is.
Mm. Attention to detail.
Yeah. I want to thank you guys for being here. We'll do one more song on the way out. But what's all the nuts and bolts, the Twitter, the website, the where to find you online?
Oh, yeah, well, we're on Facebook. That's probably our main thing.
Yeah, we update that all the time with silly things, which are fun to watch. And then we've got cloudcontrolband.com.
Well, and what's the Facebook?
Just look up.
Just search Cloud Control.
Cloud Control on the Facebook that comes up. So then once we become friends on Facebook, then we can talk about a friendship in real life.
Yeah. Then we can go out for food together.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it looks like I got a little bit more work to do today. All right. So what's this last song you're going to take us out on?
Ghost Story.
Yep. Ghost Story?
Cool.
All right. Well, hold on. Oh. Let me just sign off. I just want to thank you. Thank the guys at Maison Premiere. To Roberta's, to Jack Inslee. Still have tickets available for the August 6th barbecue with 10 chefs, 7 bands, break of cocktails, citywinery.com. And thank you again to Mercedes-Benz and Bullfrog and Bob for an amazing weekend. Cloud Control, take us home.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for being here.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. AMP goes local. The Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company, commonly known as the AMP, that grocery chain you've seen all your life, has glommed onto the concept of local and sustainable and has just introduced a new consortium of producers known as the Mid-Atlantic Country Farms, from which they will source beef and poultry. The animals are antibiotic and hormone-free, raised on vegetarian feed. There is no mention of certified humane or animal welfare approved status, however. Maybe they haven't gotten that far in the marketing department. But what makes this of interest is that AMP supplies all AMP supermarkets, Pathmark, Food Emporium, Waldbaum's, and Superfresh. These are not particularly high-end supermarkets, so this is good news for the average consumer. If you want to read more about this, you can go to the AMP website, which is www.apt.com/pressroom. This has been Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Keefe.
Finger on the Pulse and City Winery are proud to present the Summer Barbecue Blowout Festival, August 6th, from noon to 4 p.m. The barbecue is happening at City Winery, located at 155 Varick Street in New York City. Restaurants featured at this event are Empire Mayonnaise, Van Dag, Momofuku Milk Bar, Imperial No. 9, Mile End, Mexico, Kraft, Dizzy's Club, Coca-Cola, The Meatball Shop, and Dos Toros. Providing the soundtrack for the day are Midnight Magic, Pewter Magic, New Villager, Punches, Ducky, DJ Autobot, and the Snacky Tune DJ. VIP and general admission tickets are available at citywinery.com. Finger on the Pulse of City Winery, we'd like to thank our sponsors: Heritage Foods USA, New York Magazine, Reka Vodka, Sonar, Smile, Guilt City, Sub-Zero, and Wolf. Please come out and join us for a day of fun, food, and dancing. For more information, go to www.fotpnyc.com.